All right, I will say good morning. Today's daf is Chavav 26. We are picking up on the last two words on Chav Hey Amud Beis 25b. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Adam Yudit Ben Zev, the Eli Nishmas, Adam's grandfather Moshe David Ben Shalom, in honor of Adam's grandmother Helen Nachman and his parents Eli and Judy Ben Zev, for serving as incredible role models. May Hashem grant them arichos yamim v'shanim. And also with that, let us begin. Sandal. So remember, again, yesterday we were introduced to the concept of sandal. So remember, based on what we learned in the last part of yesterday's daf, so the sandal essentially, again, is a twin, right? And what seems to have happened in utero is that one fetus pushed against the other. Although we'll see the technical metzius of this. One fetus pushed against the other to the point that ultimately, again, the other just became pretty much flattened. But ultimately, again, the sandal, under certain circumstances, like we outlined yesterday, would still be a bona fide birth. Again, it doesn't need tzuras upon him. We spoke about all this yesterday. So the Gemara says as follows, sandal disnan. So we'll say, so when we've been speaking about the sandal kind of shows up in a couple of different areas of halacha. Gabe Bechoros L'mayhil. So let's remember again, sandal is mentioned by Bechoros. So Rashi says over here, Gabe Bechoros, Diktani, top of the daf, Diktani Mapeles, sandal, Habo Acharav Bechor L'nachal Ve'in Bechor L'koin. So we'll say, so the Rashi quotes over here, the Yoram Masechet Brachos, it says if a woman miscarries a sandal, right, she goes in, she miscarries, and that which she expels is a sandal, the baby that comes afterwards is a bechor for inheritance purposes, but not a bechor for kohen purposes, for pidyon bechor. We spoke about this already last week. So the Gemara says, so gai bechoros lamai hilchasa, levo acharav bechor lenachala. So we'll say, so therefore again, sandal, when it comes to halachas of bechoros, tells us that sandal is a pet erechem, ultimately again, for the purposes of pidyon bechor, but is not a bechor ultimately again for nachala. The ain bechor lekohen. Sorry, just the opposite. Is a bechor for nachala is a bechor. Say this again. Now, if a woman expels a sandal, so we'll say, so the halacha is that the baby that comes afterwards is considered to be the firstborn for inheritance purposes, but is not the firstborn for pidyon purposes. Sandal disnan gabi krisos lamai hilchosa. We will say when sandal was brought up in the context of krisos, so ultimately again, for what halachic purpose was it brought up? Shintelet vlad derech dofen. V'sandal derech rechem. Because also, listen to this interesting case. If a woman were to go ahead and, have a C-section and deliver a healthy baby via C-section, and a sandal derech rechem, but a sandal ultimately again through a natural birth, what's the halacha? Demaisi karban a sandal. There was an interestingly enough, there's an interesting machlokas regarding does a woman bring a karban leida ultimately, again, for a C-section baby. So again, quoting over here, the opinion that says no. So halacha l'maaseh, if a woman delivers a healthy baby C-section, there's no carbon for that. But if she were to go ahead and expel a sandal, there would be a chiyuv carbon for that. Over Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Yotze Derech Dofen Vlad Ma'al Yehu. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that if a woman gives birth via C-section, that is a regular birth. So we'll say, and therefore again, would be chayiv in a carbon. So Ma'ika LeMeimar, what is there to say? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Shim Teled Vlad. Listen to this interesting case. So Rabbi Yirmiyah comes up. It comes up in the following situation. That if a woman were to go ahead and give birth while she is non-Jewish, the sandal la'achar shen is gaira, and then she were to give birth to the sandal after she gave birth. And I will say, now what's happening over here? After she converted, I'm sorry. So we'll say, so now, interesting enough, in this particular case, what's happening? So remember again, the sandal, according to our understanding over here, is a twin. So the particular Messias over here is, this woman is birthing in the midst of her conversion. So we'll say, so therefore, remember again, I will say, the Messias, we'll ask about the Messias in just a little bit. We don't have to get caught up in the Messias. We're looking at an illustrative case here. So the idea over here is as follows. So remember, if she goes ahead and she gives birth to the Vlad while she's in Obed Es Kochavim. So prior to conversion, she gives birth to the healthy baby. And then what? Then the sandal comes out after she gives birth. Suppose I say, so what's the halacha? The Gemara says, demaisa carbon asandal. Now, obviously, there's no carbon for the first baby because she's not Jewish. But halacha lemaisa, she will bring a carbon for the sandal because she birthed it after she gave birth. She birthed it after she converted. Amrua Rabbana Kamei de Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, Rabbana said this over in front of Rav Papa. And here's the problem. Umi isnuhu lahani shinuye. So we'll say, so are any of these cases actually possible? After all, the Hatanya, Kishen Yotzin, En Yotzin, Elekruchin. So we'll say, interestingly enough, it appears that the Metzias of Sandal is that Sandal and the healthy baby are always coming out together. So because they're always coming out together, ultimately, again, are any of these cases that we mentioned actually possible? Because in these cases, it's almost as if the Gemara is setting it up as if you're having two different births, right? You're having the birth of a Sandal and a birth of the Vlad. And again, this is really most shaykh to the last case, where you're having her give birth to the healthy baby prior to Gerus, the sandal after Gerus. The Gemara just says, isn't the Metzias that the sandal is usually coming out with the baby? Amar Papa Shmamina. That Papa says, what do you see from here? Michrach karich le vlad le sandal. Apalge. Umishlochif le klape reshe. So we'll say, Rav Papa says something very interesting. And I will say, it's actually intriguing here that the Gemara actually feels compelled to go ahead and explain the Metzias. Because, you know, a lot of times in Gemara, the Gemara will put forward a case. You look at the case and you say to yourself, you know what? It doesn't really make much sense. In other words, the Metzias of such a case happening would seem to be so rare. Yet what? Yet halacha l'maisa, we don't usually ask that question. It's fascinating here that the Gemara chooses to actually delve into the Metzias. So the Gemara says like this. Let me tell you how sandal usually happens. Michrach karich le vlad le sandal. So mostly, normally what happens is the vlad, which is the healthy baby, and the sandal become a bit intertwined. How so? So the Gemara says, apalge. So what ends up often happening is the healthy baby grows into the towards the middle of the sandal. And what happens is, umishlechav le klape reshe. The sandal often ends up kind of wrapping itself around the head of the healthy baby. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Shmamina, midahusker sandal gabe krisos, mishum gerus, ukigun shiyatza vla tchila v'achakach sandal, v'gabe b'choro shiyatza sandal tchila kiduk minan lael, depoter vlad mechamish slom, v'tanya debibas achas yotzin, Shmamina, ein shokvin ze itzel ze. Rashi says it appears the sandal and the healthy baby do not rest in utero one next to the other. Dimkin, lo mishkachas le shiyetze zeh kodem zeh, ela hai kruchin diktani hachi, hu michrach karich le vlad le sandal apalgei derosh havlad, tachov kenegeti burosh sandal. So I'll say, so the image, if you could imagine, is that the healthy baby is kind of growing into the midsection of the sandal, and the top of the sandal wraps itself around the top of the baby. Rashi says, "Mishlochif leklape reshe klomar dachvu vlad beroshol sandal klape chutz." So now watch this. Gabe bechoros. So therefore, the Gemara is going to explain the metzias of all the different cases. Gabe bechoros. What's the case in bechoros? Kigon sheyatzu derech rashehem. So I'll say the bechoros case. Remember again, bechoros was the top case, where it tells me that halach l'maisa, if the woman births the sandal first, so the baby that comes after it is not a bechor for pidyon, but is a bechor for nachala. So what's the case? So the Gemara says, kigon shiyatsu derech rashehem. So I'll say, so what's the case where the sandal would come out before the healthy baby, where the babies are coming out head first? The babies are coming out head first. So I'll say, based on the metzias that the Gemara just explained, that the healthy baby kind of grows into the midsection of the sandal, and the sandal wraps itself around the head of the healthy baby. If the babies are coming out head first, then what? Sandal's coming out first. So if sandal's coming out first, the sandal will be the petarechem. Therefore, for pidyon aben purposes, the healthy baby that comes out is not the bechor, but for nachala purposes, the healthy baby will be the bechor. Kigon shiyatzu derech rasheim, the sandal kadim v'nafik. Gabi krisos. I will say, what was the case of krisos? Remember again, the case of krisos ultimately was, according to the first version, it was if the healthy baby comes out derech dofen. C-section, sandal comes out naturally. That shall bring a carbon leda ultimately for the sandal and not for the healthy baby. According to Rabbi Shimon, the case was where she birthed the healthy baby before she gave birth. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. She birthed a healthy baby before she converted, and the sandal after she converted. And that halacha l'maaseh shall bring the carbon leda for the sandal and not for the healthy baby. So if gabe krisos, what's the case? Sheyatzu derach margalos sehem. The babies are coming out feet first. Divlad kadim. We'll say in the case of the feet first, that would be ultimately where what? Where the healthy baby would emerge first. V'nafik. Ravuna bar tachlifa mishmei dirava amar afilu tema mitzum samim. Even if you want to set up the case where the healthy baby and the sandal are coming out at the same time, and the truth is you could just switch around the previous rulings. If they're coming out at the same time, gabi bechoros, shiyatu derech margalos sehem. Ultimately, again, in the case of bechoros, where we're saying that what? That if the sandal comes out first, so the sandal is going to be the bechor for pidyon, so to speak. In other words, that the baby comes afterwards, we're not required pidyon aben, but the second baby will be the bechor for nachala. They're coming out feet first. Vlad de ispe chiyusa sarich velo nafik. So we'll say in general, this is actually interesting. The Gemara says a baby who is alive, when it is being birthed, sarich. So we'll say if you look at Rashi, sarich ochiz biyadav lemala ve'ena memaher latzeis. Literally again, it lifts its hands up, holds on to the womb and does not want to come out. So the idea being is that there's friction. That's the idea, that when a baby is alive, ultimately, again, there's friction in the birth, there's struggle in the birth. However, Vlad is Bechiyusa, sorry, Vlad Nafik, sandal, the less Bechiyusa, but Nebuch the sandal, I will say, which is not alive. So ultimately, again, Sharik vin Nafik, just Smachlik, Rashi says, slides out and emerges from the womb. Gabi Krisos, Shiyatu Derech Rashayan, but ultimately, again, in the case of Kris, in the case of the carbon Leda, what will be the case? They're coming out head first. Vlad is Bechiyusa, Midinafik Resha Havile Leda. The baby which is alive, so we'll say, when the baby is alive, once the head emerges. Remember, again, we saw back in our chulin, it's not even the whole head. All you really need is the padachas. All you need is the forehead. Once the majority of the head is born, ultimately, the baby is considered to be birthed. Sandal adinafik ruba. But sandal, because it is not alive, you need the majority of the sandal to come out in order for it to be considered birthed. So we'll say, bottom line that the Gemara is making over here is, the metzias of sandal is essentially, again, is the non-viable twin. The truth is, it's really the malformed twin. It's not even, remember, it might not even have a full human form. But the idea is that somehow they're wrapped around one to the other, or really the sandal's wrapped around the living baby, and that's how you have the metzias of all these different cases. So, halacha l'maaseh, we see the implications of sandal in three different ways. We see the implications of sandal ultimately again in Bechoros to teach me that even if the sandal comes out first, where the sandal exempts the baby that comes after it for Pidyon Aben, the second baby will still be the Bechor for Nachala. We see sandal by Karban Leda, that Halacha Lamaisa again, a woman will bring a Karban Leda ultimately again for sandal, and we see sandal ultimately again in the case of Bechoros, what was the second one? Bechoros, Krisus, Carbon, and yes, that was it. Good, fine. And we saw again, obviously, in Hilchos Nida as well. Good, those are the ramifications of sandal. Good. Says the Mishnah, Shalya Beis Abayis. Well, actually, we saw this case quoted earlier. Shalya Babayis. If ultimately, again, there's a Shalya, a placenta, afterbirth in the house, Sabayis Tame. Ultimately, again, the house will be Tame. So I'll say, why is that? So Rashi says over here, Abayis Tame, Mishum Oel Ameis, Devlat Havaba Umeis. Because we will say ultimately again, we assume that there was a vlad, that there was a baby inside of the shalya, and therefore again, now that the baby is deceased, that conveys tumah to the home. Lo sha shalya vlad. We will say to be clear, it's not because when we look at the shalya, the placenta, we think that that's a baby. Ela shein shalya below vlad. Rather, because we will say our assumption is that there is no such thing as a shalya without a baby inside. Now again, where's the baby? Where's the baby? So we assume that the baby dissolved, right? But lamaisa again, ein shalya below vlad. Rabbi Shimon says, nimo kavlad at shal yeti. So we'll see, this is fascinating. So we'll see, remember again, everyone agrees that there is no placenta without the baby. The shayla is what? Where's the baby? So the Tanakhama will say the baby emerged, but it must have dissolved in the placenta. Rabbi Shimon says, I agree the baby dissolved. When did the baby dissolve, though? The baby dissolved in utero. They will say, what's the nafkamina? Look at Rashi. V'nimo kavlad, v'na'as adam in es arva adam aleida u'batal barov. So you will say, ultimately, again, we're going to see that Rabbi Shimon holds that because the baby dissolved, it is batal barov. It's batal just in the rest of the shalya. Therefore, again, there is no Tumas Mace over here. So fundamental machlokes and a kind of Rabbi Shimon, person finds a shalya in the home. Do we assume ultimately, again, that there's Tumas Mace in the home or not? Tanakhama saying yes, we're in shalya below Vlad. Rabbi Shimon saying it must have already dissolved and is batal barov. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, shalya, to us the Gemara talks about over here, just a description of the shalya. Shalya, tchilas adom elochut shal arev. So we'll say, and the shalya, the beginning of the shalya, resembles ultimately again like the string of the woof, that right, the part of the loom, the warp loof, like we saw yesterday. The sofa, the end of the shalya, keturmus. Looks like a turmus, a lupine. Vichalula kichatzosros, and it is hollow like a trumpet. Ve'in shalya pesucha mitevach, pechusa mitevach. And the shalya is never less in size than a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, shalya dome lekorkaban shel tarnagolin. Shadak nyotzi amenu. The shalya actually resembles the korkaban, which is the gizzard of a chicken, of a rooster, that the intestines come out of. Okay, I will say here, they're literally just giving a physical description of what the shalya looks like. Tanya, Rabbi Oshia Zeira de Mincharia, Chamisha Shi'urin Tefach. So we'll say there are five things that Chazal said that have a shir of Tefach. Again, we'll see there are probably more than five, but five things for which the minimum shir ultimately is a Tefach. V'yeluhin. These are they. Next, number one, Shalya. So as you just said before, that the minimum shir of the Shalya is a Tefach. Shofar. We'll say shofar also has to be a tefach. Again, we're going to make the list. We're going to go through the list, and then we'll define each of them. Shedra. So we'll say this actually refers, we'll see, to the spine. We'll see which spine this is. Dofen sukkah, the wall of a sukkah. V'ha'ezov, and the hyssop plant. Shalya hadamra. So we'll say shalya is what we just said before. Which we'll say, so the reason why this is important is because ultimately, again, what it says is as follows. What it says is if you find something and it's less than a tefach, even if it looks like a shalya, halachically, it's not a shalya. It's very important. That's why the shear is exceptionally important. Shofar. So we'll say, therefore, shalya has to be a minimum of a tefach in order to have the halachas of Tumas Meis. Shofar. What's the case of shofar? This sign is actually very interesting. Kama yehe shear shofar. We'll say, what is the shear of a shofar? In other words, we'll say, what is the length of a shofar? So the Gemara says, Perush Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Kadesh Shiyach Zene Biyado, V'yira Lekan U'Lekan. So we'll say, the halacha is that a shofar, ultimately, again, is the length that you could hold on to it, and there's still a little piece that could be seen on either side of the hand. We'll say, what shear is that? That's the shear of a tefach, right? The tefach is the length of your hand, right? So we'll say, ultimately, again, including the little bit of the width of the thumb. So if you think about this, if you go ahead and you hold the shofar with your four fingers, if you have a little bit of space, a little bit of shofar on each side, so halacha l'maisa, again, that's the shear of a tefach. By the way, it's halacha l'maisa. Shofar must be the minimum of a tefach. Shedra, we'll say, what's the case of the shedra of the spine? Mahi, d'omra parnach, amra b'yochanan, shedro shalulav. Let's say these. What are we talking about? The spine of the lulav. Sarak shei yotzei min ahadas tefach. We'll say very important halacha. The spine of the lulav must extend above your hadasim at least a tefach. We'll say it's a very important halacha. You know that when arranging your lulav, so what's the halacha? The hadasim have to be over the aravos, right? The hadassim have to be taller than the aravos, but sometimes the hadassim are very long, so you have to sometimes push down your hadassim a little bit in the holder, because the ma'aseh said the shedra, the spine of the lulav, must be at least one tefach higher than the top of the hadassim. Good. Dofen sukkah. We'll say, what's the case of the tefach by the wall of a sukkah? Disayin yeshtayim kil chasan, shlishis afilu tefach. We'll say, a sukkah must be a minimum of three walls. But there's a halacha l'moshe misina that says that what? You need two regular walls, and the third wall could even be what? Even just a tefach. Ezov, what's the case of Ezov? The Tanya Rebichia, Ezov tefach. So let's remember again, Ezov is used in a couple of different circumstances. Ezov could be used, but remember, Ezov is usually used for sprinkling. So anytime you're sprinkling something, usually you're dipping the Ezov plant into the mixture of water and you're sprinkling. So whether that's by Mitzora, whether that's by Para Aduma, by Tumas Meis. So the minimum share of the Ezov plant itself must be a tefach. Amrav Chanina Bar Papa, Dorish. I'm sorry, Drei Shila, Ish Kefar Tamrasa, Tlas Masnisa, Vitarti Shmaisisa, Shi'ura Tefach. So we'll say ultimately again, so you have Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa says that really what we have over here are three Mishnayis and two Shmaisisa. So say Shmaisisa means statements by Amoroim. That all teach me that Halach Maisa Shir is a Tefach. Tarti, what do you mean? Two, we only have ultimately again one statement of an Amora. Amrabaye, Ema Amar Abchia Ezov Tefach. So we'll say, so if you look at Rashi says over here, Amar Abaye, Lo Tema Tani Rabichia Ezov Tefach. So we'll say, again, this is just a technical issue that you have over here, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa saying, that Haloch Lamaisa, out of the five things that we mentioned about a Tefach, three of them are Mishnayis, and two of them are statements by Amoroim. But it's not true. If you go back in the list, it's actually three of them are Mishnayis. One of them is the same by Amoram. Tush Abayi says, no, just change it around. Don't say that Rabbi Chiya taught a Mishnah. Rather, ultimately, again, Rabbi Chiya said himself. Rabbi Chiya is an Amora. So we're going to change the statement of Rabbi Chiya to be Rabbi Chiya stating a Mishnah, to Rabbi Chiya stating his own opinion. And therefore, again, it's a statement of an Amora, not a statement of a Mishnah. Look at Rashi, Amar Abaye. Lotemata Rabbi Chiya, Ezov Tefach, Tamashra Masnesin hi. Don't say Tani Rabbi Chiya, which means that Rabbi Chiya is stating a Mishnah. Ela ema Amar Rabbi Chiya, Uminaf Sheikha Amra. Rather say Amar Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya, the Amora is making a statement. Rabbi Chiya, Tana va Amoru. Fine. So the Gemara says as follows. Vesulaka, is that all? Bosse, are these the only cases where there's a requirement of a tefach? The shir of tefach finds its expression in so many places in halacha. Bosse, second wide line, chafava medalif. Vahoyika, tefach al tefach al rum tefach meruba. We'll say, what about the case of Tumas Ohel? So we'll say, what is the basic, remember, Tumas Ohel means if you're under the same roof with a mace, ultimately, again, you become Tamin. I also remember, again, the Kiddush of Tumas Ohel is, what does Tumas Ohel do? It spreads the Tumah to anything under that same roof. So we'll say, so for example, we know the simple case, if I'm in the same home with a corpse, with a mace, even if I'm on one side of the room and the mace is on the other side of the room, I am Tameh. I didn't touch the corpse. I'm not in proximity to the corpse. If we're under the same roof, essentially what ends up happening is the Tumah fills that entire area under the roof. So what is the halachic minimum definition of a roof? To which the Gemara says, oh, it's tefach al tefach. It's one right? Tefach in width, by a tefach in length, with a tefach of height. Maybe a satuma of a chotis bifnei atuma. They're both said, by the way, it goes both ways. In other words, that type of roof will spread tuma, and that type of dimension could also be a barrier to tuma. See, here's another shir of tefach. Why don't we include this? To which the Gemara says, tefach kaminan. Tefach al tefach lo kaminan. Plus, we're talking about things that have the shear of a tefach, not of one tefach of length by one tefach of height, right? We're not getting into more complex measurements here. I have a ha'ika, evan ha'yotzi min ha'tanur, tefach, u'min ha'kira, shalosh etzba'os chibur. So we'll say, what about the following case? What about the case of evan ha'yotzi min ha'tanur? So we'll say, so this ultimately, again, is talking about the halachos concerning handles. So we'll say, so when you have a kli and that kli becomes tame, right? Or excuse me, that kli becomes tame, the handles of the kli become tame as well. Now the chiddush is, let's say you have something like a tanur. Now a tanur classically was a kli cheros, was an earthenware vessel. Earthenware vessels only become tame, how? From the inside. From the inside. So the chiddush over here is that if you have a handle for that earthenware vessel, even though the handle is on the outside, and the kli cheros becomes tame on the inside, the handles become tame as well. To which the Gemara says, even ayotzi min ha-tanur tefach. So I will say, if you have a handle that comes out from the tanur tefach, umin ha-kira shalosh etzbos, or from the kira, which is a smaller stove, right, that it comes out three finger breaths, so I will say, ultimately, chibur, they are considered to be connected to the kli, and therefore mekabel tuma. So here you see another shir of tefach, that ultimately what? Another shir of tefach, right? So I will say, saloch alamaisa, another shir of tefach, that the handle becomes tameh through its connection through the tanur, to which the Gemara says, why don't you include that as well? Ki kaminan hecha debatzir mitafach lo chazi. Rabbi said the only time we go ahead and we're bringing up the shear of tefach is when tefach is what? A minimum shear. And less than the shear tefach, halacha lamaisa would not be significant. Aval hocha kol shekin debatzir mitafach ya tanur. So Rabbi said, listen, this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara says like this, when you have the handle to the tanur, so Rabbi said, so remember again, the issue that comes up is, the larger the handle, let me say differently, when the Gemara over here quotes the shear tefach for the handle of the tanur, that's almost like a maximum shear, right? But certainly if the handle is less than a tefach, then surely it's considered to be attached to the utensil and the kabel tuma as well. So also, the Gemara is suggesting, when we mention the shear tefach is being mentioned as a minimum shear, not as a maximum shear. So the Gemara says, Vahaika amud beis. Vahaika tanure benos tefach. So this is interesting. So the Gemara says, so what about tanur? So if you look at Rashi, tanure banos, naros ketanos osin tanur liskok. So apparently they used to have play ovens. But I will say, but these actually worked, right? These guys are a little bit different. They actually had fire in them. Right? So I'll say, so these were ovens for little kids. I mean, yeah, of course. So I'll say, so the Gemara says, what about the little kid ovens, right, for little girls that were often a tefach in size? Disanya, because also we learned, tanur tchiloso arba, Vishiyarav Dala, the Rebbe Meir. So this is actually very interesting. So a tanur, Tchiloso Arba. Now what does it mean? Look at Rashi. Tchiloso Arba. Tanur ben Dala Tfachim, Mekabel Tomam Nigra Malachto. So apparently it will say, the minimum shear of a tanur was 4 Tfachim. Whereas people wouldn't make a tanur that was less than 4 Tfachim. So also remember again, we're talking about over here, the halachas of be Mekabel Tuma. When is a Kli Mekabel Tuma? You need two things, essentially. Number one, a minimum requisite shear for the kli, and nigmar malachto. The kli itself has to be finished, has to be completed. So at what point in time is a tanur mekabel tuma? So tanur tchilasa arba, so a tanur ultimately, again, must have a minimum shear of 4 tfachim, ushiyarav dale div Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Meir says, and it only is mekabel tuma if it maintains still a basic shear of dalid. Look at Rashi. V'shiyar of dalid. Nitma tanur gadol v'shavro. If we'll see if the tanur gadol, a large oven, and it became tameh. I'm sorry. And you broke it. Well, it became tameh. And it broke. Nishtairu dalid tfachim adayin tameh. So we'll see. Actually, remember again. Halacha l'maisav. If you have a kli that becomes tameh and is then broken. So what's the halacha? If it breaks in a way where it's no longer usable in its original capacity, so the tuma goes away. So if you have a large oven and that oven broke, as long as it maintains ultimately again a shear of dalit fachim, shear of dalit fachim, it still remains an oven and therefore retains its tuma. The chum say medar mornings is true. Begadol, we'll say that's true with a large oven. Abal bekatan tchilaso kolshu mishetigmar malachto. V'shiyarav berubo. I will say, when it comes to a small oven, what's the halacha? The shear of a small oven is any amount. Is any amount, right? Mishatigmar malachto, as long as ultimately, again, it's finished its formation. V'shiyarav berubo. And as long as, if it breaks, the majority is still intact. So halacha, it's still in kabel tuma. the kama kol shehu, and I'm about to say how much is a kol shehu. Rav Yanai tefach shekin osin tanurei benos tefach. So I'm about to say ultimately again. So I'm about to say what's the minimum shear in which a tanur will still be a functional tanur? A tefach. Where do we get a tefach from? Because little kids would make their tanurim, little girls would make their tanurim from a tefach. Shabbos, so what do you see from here? So why don't we add this to the list of as well? We're trying to figure out things that have a minimum shear of a tefach. So let's include over here what? Tanur. The minimum shear of a tefach. In other words, the minimum shear of a tanur that ultimately will be makabel tumah is the tefach. So why not include that here as well? They plugged out lo kamairi. Because we'll say ultimately again, we're not including cases that are subject to machlokes. Whereas when we wanted to make the list of things that are subject to the tefach criteria, we only wanted to include agreed upon items. But things that are subject to machlokes are included. So we'll say, so the case of tefach, ultimately is a machlokes case. Because you have machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says that the minimum shear of a tefach, the minimum shear of a tanur, that ultimately, again, is called a tanur, and is mekabel tumah, how much? 4 tefachim. The Chacham are saying it's even 1 tefach. Where did the Chacham get 1 tefach from? Because that's tanurei banos. That's from the tanurim of children. But this, you see, is subject to machlokes. We're not including machlokes cases. And I says, well, if that's the case, hashtad the asis lohachi hanami pluktihi. But say, if that's the case, that you're not going to include machlokes cases, then halacha lemaisa, there's another problem, which is the Gemara says, hadik tani seifa, amra Yehuda, lo amru tefach, ela minat tanur v'la kosel. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, but remember again, we wanted to include the previous case about the handles of the tanur. So we'll remember again, because the Gemara said over here, that the handle of the tanur was often a tefach. And again, we wanted to say that halacha lemaisa, when the tanner becomes tameh, so the handle becomes tameh as well. So why don't you include the handle of the tanner case and the tefach cases as well? So what do we answer? We answered over here that we only wanted to include cases where the tefach was the minimum measurement. In the case of the handle by the tanner, so ultimately, again, the minimum measurement of a handle is not a tefach, you can have less than a tefach. So the Gemara says, now that you're telling me that halacha lemaisa, we're not including cases that are subject to machlokes, that's also a reason why we don't include the handle case. Why not? The Gemara says, Hanami plukti diktani seif, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, lo amru tefach ela minat tanur v'la kosel. That ultimately, again, we only said a tefach, Rabosai, because the tefach is the minimum measurement, really called the minimum measurement, ultimately between the tanur and the wall. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, lo amru tefach ela minat tanur v'la kosel. The hasam yoser mi tefach, Omedes likotzeis mipnei shema'aki v'esatanur milikar v'lekosel. So we'll say, interestingly enough, in general, in your space planning, in your Talmudic home, you would want to place your tanur next to the wall, but not all the way next to the wall, because you don't want the heat of the tanur to erode the walls of the home. So what would you do? You would often leave a tefach of space, which I will say means that halacha l'maaseh, interestingly enough, what happens if you had a handle that was larger than a tefach, longer than a tefach? So what would you do? You would cut it down. Because remember, again, you don't want to leave the tanner too far from the wall. Why not? Because you end up losing space in the house. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so the largest handle you would have on your tanner would be a tefach. You don't really even need that big of a handle on your tanner, but you would be okay with a tefach, because that's the amount of space anyway that you want to leave between your tanner and the wall of the house. But if the handle was larger than a tefach, then usually that would be cut down. Rashi says, Neshama akevis atram the kavar lekosel, v'docheikes asakosel, hilchach yosem mitefach omedes linotelhi, fine. So we'll say therefore, the Gemara is just giving another reason why ultimately, again, that case of the handle would not be included. So we'll say, still, Vaikim is geras. So we'll say, remember again. So now what we have is as follows. We have our list of halachos, our 5 halachos, to which the law of tefach applies to. We're bringing up other cases of tefach, and we're dismissing those cases, either because it's not a minimum shear of a tefach, or because it's subject to machlokes, but the Gemara says there are still other cases of ikim miskeres. So I will say, what about the miskeres? So I will say the miskeres was the border of the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so the Shulchan had like a decorative misgeras, a decorative, I guess the word is rim. What is it? Molding, good. A decorative molding around the Shulchan. So we'll say, the height of that molding was a tefach. So why don't you include that over here as well? Vayikam misgeras tefach, b'diksivan lo kamayi. So let's listen to this. The Gemara over here is not talking about things that are explicitly stated. So we'll say, the fact that the molding of the Shulchan has to be a tefach, that is a mefurish pasuk in the Torah. That's not part of the list. The list is talking about things that Allah HaMais, I don't have an explicit statement for. I ba'iga kapores tefach. And we'll say, what if we look at Rashi? Rashi has been tzivan. She shouldn't furish from the Torah. Fine. What about the kapores? We'll say, what about the lid of the aron, which was a tefach in height? Bikodshim lo kamayri. We're not talking about things that are explicit in the Kodesh. Good. Vayika daya lekorah shetei rach batefach. We'll say, what about the korah? So remember, this is taking us back to our Erevin days. We'll say, if you have a mavui is an alleyway. Technically speaking, you could go ahead and carry in an alleyway. Why? Because it is Rishus Hayochid. Remember, again, about saying the way the Talmudic kind of, I guess, neighborhoods were set up as you had multiple homes opening up into a shared chatzer, multiple chatzeros opening up into a shared mavoi. Therefore, technically speaking, a mavoi is a shayachid, you could carry there. What was the concern? The concern is if we let people carry in a mavoi, they will come to what? Carry in Rishus Harabim. So what's the halacha? Chazal legislated, you have to put a lechi or a korah, some type of recognizable demarcation between the entranceway of the mavoi or the exit of the mavoi into Rosh Hasharabim. So you have to put a lechi or a korah, right? A vertical or a horizontal pole. So the Gemara says, when it comes to the korah, right? When it comes to the beam that you put across, daya lekorah sheirach bo tefach, it's enough ultimately, again, if the korah is a tefach. So we'll see, here's another example of ultimately, again, where you have the sheir tefach, to which the Gemara says, bidrabanon lo kamayri. We're not talking about Tirabanans. In our list of things that require a tefach, we're only talking about halachas, which are darais. So any Tirabanans we're not including. Ella, etikasinon, velo mefarshi shirai. So we'll say rather, the things that made the list, Rabosai, are things that are mitzvahs daraisa, whose shiurim are not explicit. Those are the things ultimately, again, that made it to the list. Therefore, Rabosai, ultimately, again, as we said before, in our list of five things, Shalya, Shofar, Shedra, Dofen, Sukkah, and Azov. These are the five things Rabbi said that are Dinei Da'oraisa, whose Shi'urim are not explicit, and all of them have the minimum Shir of a Tefach. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Yosef, Rav Yitzchak, Bar Shmo, Bar Marta, Kamed, Rav Kana, V'yosef, V'kamar, Amar, Rav Yudam, Rav, Kosh, Loshes, Yom, Rishon. So we'll say, back to Shalya. All 3 days, Kol Shoshim Arishonim, Tovim Es Hashayi B'Las. Wasn't that an interesting halacha? What happens if a woman gives birth, baby comes out, but the Shalya does not? And the Shalya comes out sometime later on. So we'll say, so essentially, the fundamental Shalya we're looking at over here is as follows. If a woman gives birth, and the Shalya does not come out, but the Shalya comes out sometime later on, how do we look at that Shalya? Is that Shalya viewed as the Shalya of the baby that came out? Or is it possible that maybe what? Maybe there was another baby there, and therefore that Shalya represents another second birth. Or maybe she really had twins, right? One of the babies perhaps did not survive the pregnancy, and the Shalya that comes out sometime later on, ultimately again, is the Shalya of that deceased Vlad. So the Gemara says, it depends when. So Kol Shloshi Yamim Arishonim, I will say for the first 3 days after the birth of the baby, Tolunas Ashalya Bevlad. Ultimately, again, we assume that the Shalya ultimately, again, belongs to the baby that came out. Mikan Ve'ilech, but Rabbi said the Shalya comes out after 3 days of the birth. Choshishin Livlad Acher. Then Halacha L'maisi, we assume that the Shalya represents another baby. Look at Rashi. Kol Gimel Yamim. Kigon Yatzav Lad Tchila. V'Shalya Achera B'soch Gimel Yam. So we'll say so again. If the case over here is that there's a baby that's born, on Sunday, if the Shalya comes out within 3 days after the birth of the baby, we assume that that Shalya belongs to the baby that was born. However, afterwards, if it comes out afterwards, then Tolun HaShalya Rashez Bo Ve'in choshishin la'achar desoch hazman asuya ashay lis akiv achar avlad. Shahaisa menu tfei. Vimzeh. I'm sorry. Look at that expression. Mikan ve the choshishin shem avlad achar hayyimo. So fine. We're going to get to the nekeva in just a moment. So Mara says, Amarle, umi amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say this? V'ha amar Rav, ein havlad nis'akev achar chavero klum. But Rav said, Rabbo said that if there is another baby in utero, that other baby does not wait to be born, but that other baby comes out immediately as well. Ishtik, he was silent. Amarle, Dilma kan benefo, kan beben kayama. I'll say, maybe in reality again, when does Rav say that halach lamaisa, if there's another baby, the other baby doesn't wait to come out, that's when both babies are viable. But ultimately, again, if you have a situation of a nefel and a ben kayama, right, one of the babies is alive and one of the babies is not, so halach lamaisa, there can be some delay in the birthing of the two babies. To which the Gemara says, Amalei, at amrit l'shmaisa sad Rav, so are you interpreting the statement of Rav? The Feirish Amar Rav Hachi, Rav said this explicitly. Hepila nefel va'acharkach hepila shalya. If a woman expelled a nefel, a non-viable baby, and afterwards the shalya came out, the afterbirth came out, kol shlosha yamim. So again, if the shalya followed the nefel within the first 3 days, tolin asa shalya bevlad. Ultimately, again, what we go ahead and we assume that the shalya is in fact the shalya of the vlad. Mikan ve'ilech, but I will say anything after 3 days, choshishin livlad acher. Ultimately, again, we assume that there was another vlad. So we'll say now we're reinterpreting this statement of Rav. So watch this. Case number one, Rabbi says, where the woman is birthing a nefel, right? The baby is not alive. So halacha lemaisa says she delivered a baby who's not alive, but the shalya doesn't come out with the baby. The shalya comes out afterwards. So how do we view the shalya? What's the answer? It depends. If the shalya comes out within 3 days after the birth of the nefel, that shalya is attached to that nefel. If the shalya comes out after 3 days of the nefel, post the nefel, then what? New baby. New baby. I'm both saying, by the way, new baby with all of its ramifications. New baby in terms of a restarting of the clock with Tumah, potentially new carbon, depending on what you find, but new baby. Both say that's case number one. So that's all if she delivered a non-viable baby. The baby wasn't alive. What happens if Yalda? We'll say, what happens if she gives birth to a living baby? So we'll say same case, but in this construct over here, she is delivering a living baby. Shalya doesn't come out with the living baby. Shalya comes out afterwards. We'll say, wow. So Rav is saying now, where she gives birth to a viable baby, even if the shalya does not come out immediately, the shalya only comes out later on. 10 days later on, we assume that shalya belongs to who? To that living baby. To which the Gemara says, so also see, here you see, according to Rav, distinction is made with the nature of the birth. When she gives birth to a living baby, we always assume that any shalya that comes out afterwards is part of that living baby. Even if the shalya comes out many days later, it's only if she expels a nefel that we assume if the shalya comes out within 3 days, it belongs to the nefel. After 3 days, new vlad. Shmuel, Utamide de Rav, Rav Yehuda, Havayasu. So let's listen to this. So therefore, again, we have Rav now espousing another halach, or I should say, Rav creating a new construct. Different construct for if the baby is living or if the baby is a nefel. So the Gemara tells him, Maisa. I mean, it's not a story, it's part of this whole thing. Shmuel, Utamide de Rav, Rav Yehuda. So we'll say, Shmuel, and the Talmidim of Rav, and Rav Yehuda, Havayasvi. We're sitting together. So the Gemara says, what happened? Haviyasi. Chalif va'azil Rav Yosef bereit Rav Menashe medivio la'apayu. So we'll say, so what happened? Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe of Deviel, so walked by them Bali va'asi. So we'll say, so what did he do? If you look at Rashi says over here, Bali va'asi, shayim maher lavo. So apparently, again, Rav Yosef walked by them very quickly. So we'll say, now, walking by them very quickly, they took it as a sign of disrespect. He didn't stop to say Shalom Aleichem. It's a good Musar, by the way. And we'll say, sometimes you could just be minding your own business, but someone still gets offended. So he walked by them very quickly, and they got offended. So what happened? So Amar, Asilan Gavra, deraminon le begila dechatasa umirami mitchi. So we'll see, look at Rashi for just a moment. So what do they say about him? So literally again, asilan gavra, a man has just come before us, deraminon le begile dechitasa. Rashi says, kilomar b'sheilos muatos mirme umitchi, kilomar lahakshos litchos shol yad lahashiv. Who just walked before us? A man who has answered very few questions in his lifetime. So I'll say, so it was like a little bit of like a shtach. Right? So this is like essentially, who is this guy? Right? Who is this guy? He just ran out, right? He ran by us, and this is a man who hasn't even answered so many shaylas. Adahachi, asa amarle, Shmuel, my amar, so adahachi, asa amarle, Shmuel, my amarab bishalya. So I'll say, so ultimately, and while all of this was happening, right, and while all this was happening, what occurred? And what did Rav say in the topic of Shalya? So they asked, what was Shitas Rav in the topic of Shalya? Amarle, hachi amarav, ein tolin hashalya ella bedavar shel kayama. We ultimately only attribute the Shalya to a nathal that is living. Look at Rashi just a moment. Ella bedavar shel kayama, shekiyotze bo miskayim, im hayom hayu chadashav kalu, lemeuti shme pila davar shein roi b'riyas l'shama. Kigon b'yerech echa b'emtza gufa b'uf otom on apelas m'vehim v'chay v'of v'achach b'il shayah filu tokimo choshesh lev la'adachar. So we'll say, listen to this. In this version of Rav, so we'll say, so they're saying that Rav holds that what? That ultimately, again, the Shalya, ultimately, again, is only considered to be attached to a nefesh shel kayama. Shailinu Shmuel l'chol tamidei d'Rav v'amri lei hachi. So we'll say, we'll stop over. We're actually going to pick up with this Emir Hashem tomorrow. We'll stop here for today. So we're going to see that we're going to challenge the last version of Rav. So we'll remember again, just so we're clear on this. In the previous version of Rav, we made the following distinction. If she delivered a healthy baby, then what? Then even if the Shalya comes out many days later, ultimately, the Shalya is going to be considered attached ultimately to that cloud, even 10 days later. If she delivered a Nefel, then what? Then within 3 days, the Shalya belongs to the Nefel. After 3 days, we assume that the Shalya is a brand new birth. As we're going to see, Rabbi say, again, we'll start with this exchange again tomorrow. As we're going to see, as part of this exchange, Rav is going to say, no, the Shalya is only attached to a viable fetus. But if this fetus itself was not viable, then it's possible that even from the beginning, the Shalya represents another birth. But again, we'll see that exchange with Rabbi Huda and Shita Shmuel and Tamidei D'Rav tomorrow.